This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Jeffrey Roberts, the author of the new book, Stalin's Library, A Dictator and His Books. The tragedy is the suicide of Nadia, his second wife. His first wife died of typhus after childbirth. So he has a child by his first wife, and he has two children by his second wife. But Nadia, and we know very little about the cause. I don't believe there was a suicide note. After an argument or some kind of friction at a party, she went in another room and shot herself with a pistol that had been brought from Europe, I believe. And we don't have a great deal of an explanation for this, but it looks to have changed the library because Stalin then moves from the family dacha, which was in a compound of other dachas, to Blitznaya, the one we've talked about, the vast room. And in this change, Professor, from the scattering of books in the apartment or in the dacha where he raised his children to this new one, does the nature of the library change, or does it just get larger?
As you say, Nadia, Nadezhda Nadia was Stalin's second wife. She was quite young when she married Stalin. She was 18, 19, I think, when she married Stalin in 1919. So he was like considerably older. They had two children in the 1920s. There's a lot of evidence to show that they had a lot of real evidence, documentary evidence, not just people's claims or memoirs, that they had reasonably happy family life in the 1920s. But for whatever reason, things went wrong. And then there's this episode in 1932, and Nadia shoots herself. By all accounts, by all the evidence we have, Stalin was very upset Nadia's death. And that changes the pattern of the family life. Until that point, he'd been quite involved in an extended family of his in-laws, mainly Nadia's relatives. But after that, he becomes a much more isolated and separate kind of figure from his family. He still has relations with his children and so on, but he becomes a much more isolated figure. And part of that process of Stalin's changing his lifestyle is the change in his routine and plan when this new big dacha is constructed for him on the outskirts of Moscow. So then his pattern of life becomes, he works late in the Kremlin, and then he's driven straight to his dacha at Blizhnaya, and he stays up until the early hours of the morning, spending actually quite a lot of time in this massive library. Does the library change? Well, I think what happens is that when Blizhnaya is constructed, Stalin's library gets a new center of gravity, is the way I put it, It becomes the center of his book collection. Most of the books are kept there, and that's where he does most of his book reading, But the other thing happens, of course, he gets bigger and bigger and bigger until by the time he dies, my estimate is there's about 25,000 or so books in his collection. So quite a big collection.
There's an anecdote about Machiavelli. I tell it because we're going to meet Machiavelli in the library. Machiavelli was exiled from Florence, as we all know, and he lived in a farmhouse outside of Florence. You can see through the trees the Duomo. I walked by it once when I was a youth, and there's a field of a vineyard below him. It was said that after dinner each evening, he would ascend to his library, which was upstairs, and in that library, he felt that he was among old friends. He was, of course, a classical scholar, and he could read in many languages. Did Stalin ever write anything like that, that when he went to his library, he was with friends, people he was comfortable with, the books?
No, but it's a very good story, John, actually, because I think that might... I'm sure Stalin would have been aware of that story about Machiavelli, because I knew a lot of things. So I think he might have known that story himself, And I would imagine Stalin to actually feel the same way that Machiavelli does in that story. That when he's in among his books, at Blizhnaya, not just in the library room, but in other parts of the dacha, when he's working, there's always books around. My guess would be he felt exactly the way it suggested that Machiavelli felt in that story, that he was actually among friends.
One observation.
And actually, just one point is that whatever's going on in the world, whatever problems he's having to deal with, this crisis, that crisis, you know, war, upheaval, terror, he always finds time to actually read some books. Yeah, and we know that for a fact. We have the evidence of it.
We're going to go to large themes in the books themselves, because the discovery of this library isn't that old. It was not maybe 1988 when we first knew this library existed. So the professor is giving us fresh information. But I observe, Professor, just quickly, the library at one point contained mostly Lenin books, Lenin and Stalin books, but it also had Zinoviev, Bukharin, Kamenev, and Rykov. Are those books still in the library? Because he executed all four of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Not all of their books, because the fragment that we have left, if remember I was saying earlier, there's about 5,000 or so books that survived.
I see.
The purging.
So he didn't purge the books. He purged the men, but not the books.
Well, he purged the men. No, absolutely not. No, he kept the books. Yeah, but not. Those books are still in the library, or what's left of the library, to this day. One of the things I did far most was help to actually construct a catalogue of these surviving books. So there's actually a catalogue available where you can actually go through and you can see which books by Zinoviev, Kamenev, Bukharin, Trotsky, all these people who he had killed.
Let's go to the Pamatki, Professor. Jeffrey Roberts is the author, Stalin's Library, A Dictator and His Books. Next, the Pamatki, the marginalia, the writing of Stalin and his library. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.